Whenever Jen and I throw a party, there's something inevitable that happens. That we start, usually the first thing that happens is we plan a menu. We have this conversation at least a day or two before, or if you actually know my wife, several weeks beforehand when things are going to start. And we start talking about what are we going to eat? What will be enough? What are the snacks, the hors d'oeuvres, the appetizers, the meal? We need to figure all that out. And usually what happens is at that point in time, we settle on, okay, this is what's going to work. This is what we need in order to have enough food. And then depending on how much time we have, a few days pass, and one of us will ask the other person, kind of goes back and forth on this one, do you think it's going to be enough? We say, oh, you know, probably not. And so you add one more thing. And then a few more days pass, and you say, are you sure? It seems like there's a lot of people coming, and I don't know. And so we add one more thing to the menu. And then you look at it, and you add one more thing to the menu. And inevitably, whenever people come over and they leave, what we end up with is weeks worth of food left over across our table. Anybody else? Are we the only ones that have this reality? I'm going to judge by the giggles that some of you have had food for days after a party. We all know this feeling. It's essentially an overfunctioning of our value that we're talking about today. Because the series that we're in, Real Faith for Real Life, is talking about our values. We've talked about we're all about Jesus, and we're always ourselves, and we're better together. But this is what's going on in that moment. We believe that as a church, we're ready to share with others because we've been blessed. We're ready to share with others because we've been blessed. And that's what we want to do. We want people who come to our house to know that we were ready for them, we were prepared, we could have everything out, everybody could participate. They didn't have to worry about what we were doing because we were ready. And we know that as a church. This is a great value because we understand that as a community, we've been blessed with abundance and beyond. But when it comes time to share, I think we can learn a lot from today's story. Because sharing is one of those things that's not always that natural. And we wonder, okay, what would it take to be prepared to share? So here's how the story started out that Lynn just read. It said this. When Jesus looked and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, where are we to buy bread for all these people to eat? Now, if you know this whole story, they had just traveled across the lake, and it turns out the crowd goes, oh, we know where Jesus is going. So while he went across the water, they went around the shore until they could show up where Jesus was. And as they're coming, I love this question because it's so many people. What do you notice? There's going to be a party, and there's no appetizers. There's no food. What are we supposed to do with them? What are we supposed to do with all these people? And that question, oh, there it is. Go to the last one. The question, where are we to buy bread for all these people, is a great one because it seems like Jesus is panicking, except watch this. Go to the next one now. He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Sneaky, sneaky Jesus. He's asking Philip just to see what on earth Philip is thinking in this moment, right? If you've been a parent or a teacher or anyone else, you know this is a critical skill. You ask questions you know the answer to get people to pay attention because they start trying to think and they don't know the answer. And Philip, for his part, plays his part perfectly. Philip answered him, 200 denarii, 200 days' wages. 8 weeks it would take for all 12 of us disciples, or not maybe not 8 weeks, but for 12 of us disciples, 8 days it would take for us to earn enough money to buy bread for all of these people just so that they could get a little. What are we supposed to do? We need so much money. We would need way more than we have. We're just a bunch of poor kids that are following you around and learning about God. Have you ever felt this way? I can't be generous because I just don't have enough. I can't be generous because the problem is too big. I can't be generous because what on earth are we supposed to do? Sometimes when I'm reading scripture, I'm thinking about it and I'm going, what is happening? What exactly is going on? And I love when it says this because it says, Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not be enough to buy bread for each of them to get a little. And you wonder, okay, what is Jesus doing? And I think Jesus is using a skill that many of us has used. Because I think what happens next is Jesus just stares at them. If I'm quiet just long enough, I can make you all uncomfortable, right? And I think he does this long enough that finally it says that all of a sudden Philip answered him, or Philip said this, and then Jesus just stares, and it says one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, finally says out of his anxiety, he goes, okay, I have an idea. There's a boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, like enough to cover my little table here. But what on earth are we supposed to do? What are they among so many people? He asks this next question, and I love it. Jesus waits for them, and they go, well, there's too many people, and we don't know what to do with it, and we don't have enough. There's no way we can help, and plus we're going to have to steal this kid's lunch. Like, I don't get it, you know? He's not going to eat so that everybody can have a little bit? Come on, Jesus, this is crazy. What is going on here? The question is pretty simple. What happens if we start feeding everyone and we run out of food? Philip notes the problem. Andrew points out how bad the solution is. And the truth is too often we don't share because the problem feels too big. And we don't know what we could have ever done to make a difference. You ever felt that way? I've been thinking about ready to share, and I knew what I was going to talk about, and it still fits just perfectly. It's our neighborhood fridge. And if you haven't been a part of this story, I just want to tell it for just a minute. If you don't know, if you're new to St. Mark, or you've been listening, but every time I talk about this, you're like, I don't know what's going on. There's a fridge. It's a room that's open to the outside that has a fridge and a freezer in it and some shelves. It's not rocket science. But when we first started trying to figure out, we knew what we wanted to do. We wanted to make a difference for hunger in this community because that's been the heart of this church for a really long time. Every time we raised money for hunger ministries or went to feed people or made a difference, people showed up and were excited about this. But the truth is that the minute we said we wanted to do that, the idea of dealing with hunger in our community felt way overwhelming. It was complicated and complex. And so we started asking this question, what are we going to do? And we started talking to different people. There were people who were involved in this conversation, Jess Gulseth and Leah Lind and Denise Wieland and Daryl Ahneman and some others. I can't remember them all right now, but there's a few people who jumped in and they started talking about this. If you're one of those people, I'm so grateful for you. I'm so thankful for the work that's been done. But the question was like, what are the resources? And what we found is that feeding people is political. Maybe you didn't know this, but certain pantries work with certain other groups, and they don't work with this group, and these guys do this, and this group does that. And everywhere we went, we looked around, and we're like, we don't understand how St. Mark fits into this ecosystem. And then we started asking the questions, well, what do you not know what to do with? And they said, there's all this waste, all this food that gets wasted. And we went, that feels like the gap. There are people who don't have time to go to a food pantry and get a week's worth of food. They don't have it's too much of an emergency. And there's food that gets wasted. And we started saying, how can we figure this out? How can we build a system to find, rescue, and give away food? And I love the pictures here. In the lower right, this is what Friday morning looks like at St. Mark pretty much every week. And Friday morning, we have a huge rescue that comes in from Trader Joe's, and then a couple more smaller rescues that regularly come in. And so people are often lined up, and we're sharing, and we're trying to find a way to get a lot of different food out. In the upper right, you can see bread. On Saturdays and Sundays, we have teams of people who go to Hy-Vee and a couple of the different Hy-Vees and pick up the bread that is there that's not rescued by anybody else and a lot of the other items that aren't rescued on the weekends. And we fill the fridge. On the upper left, we've got some of our team members who are doing a repack. Lots of our caterers in town, schools in town, big events have trays of food left over. And so we go get them, we bring them to the kitchen, they split them up into little sized containers so that people can take one or two of them home and have them. And then we distribute them that way. And in the lower left, you can see one of the hardest things to rescue was fresh produce. And fresh produce is complicated because it's ready when it's ready. It's not like you can't just schedule it out. Well, you'll get some this week and some next week and then some week after that because, you know, it was warm or rainy this week and it's time to harvest that and now it needs to go somewhere. And so these have become the things that show up, things that would otherwise end up in the dumpster, things that otherwise would end up getting thrown away, we can repackage and give away in a quick amount of time. As an aside, by the way, some of you worry because you walk in and you're like, it's empty. What are we going to do? Two things. One, that's how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to get empty because if it was always full, things would be going bad in it. Make sense? But the other piece of it is that if you're really worried about it, talk to the store you shop at and say, what do you do with leftovers? What do you do with things that are no longer used? Or jump in and help. If you haven't had a chance to do that, we'd love to get you connected. Let us know on one of those Next Steps cards and we'll get you connected to the team. Every step of the way, we were going, hunger is too big. What could we possibly do? Maybe people won't find us. Maybe we won't find food. In December, between 125 and 130 people per day shop at our neighborhood fridge. Per day. We have scheduled pickups at 7 different locations, and usually there's 1 or 2 more rescues every day of people going out, getting food, and bringing them back. And then there's all the random drop-offs. Some of you bring your leftovers from home or make sandwiches with friends and put them in there. Funerals have extra food, and it's turned out that this is a perfect place for people to give away the leftovers from a funeral lunch so that we can share with our neighbors. It just works. And it works because instead of coming up with the reasons why we couldn't share, we said, we're going to live with an open hand. We're going to live with generosity and connect people with the food that's needed. Food pantries have reserves to ensure that those long-term needs can be met. But what we have is an opportunity to meet people in their emergency, in their worst moments, just walk in and look and see if maybe there's something for them. Every part of the formation and growth of the neighborhood fridge started with these questions. How could we possibly help? And will there be enough? But we just kept holding on to our core value. We're ready to share. We're ready to share our time. We're ready to share our resources. We're ready to share our space with an open hand. And we will care for our neighbors on purpose. That's what the disciples do. That's what the disciples have to decide to do. Jesus says, what are you going to do with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? Well, here's what he says. Make people sit down. Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they all sat down, 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he'd given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, and also the fish, as much as they wanted. I don't know how the math works here. In fact, I'm pretty sure it doesn't. 5 loaves become enough to feed everyone. And when we think there's not enough or the need is too much, never forget, in Jesus' kingdom, the math is always different. There is a special kind of economics when people start to live with open hands, with generosity, with an opportunity to be able to share. It's the kind of thing where the spreadsheet doesn't make any sense. The math is hard to work out, but the result is unquestionable. Ready to share means to live in that kind of generosity. But then don't miss the next part. This part's important. When they were satisfied, think about it. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, 5,000 people. When they were satisfied, they all had eaten until it was the end of Thanksgiving dinner. He told the disciples, gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost. Jesus, what fragments? And what the heck are you talking about? You mean the crumbs? You want us to go get the crumbs? Okay, the disciples do. So the disciples went out, they gathered them up. And from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. Wait, what? This part of sharing, I said that to the kids. And they were like, that's not, no way. And to be honest, if we're feeling that way, we're going, math still doesn't work. Doesn't make any sense. Never been in some place like this. But this is the part of sharing that shouldn't be missed. Not only did what Jesus had care for everyone who was around him, but the fragments, those little bits, the things that they probably would have taken and thrown out to the birds and said, hey birds, you need a little snack here? Instead, Jesus says, there's 12 of you. Go get your basket. You got a basket to carry stuff with. Grab your basket, go out in the crowd, put as many as you can find in there. I bet you'll find a little bit. And they each came back, person after person, with a basket full of the fragments. The wasted part becomes an overflow that they couldn't imagine. And And this is where the story changes. Because suddenly it's not about the food. It's about the symbolism. If you know anything about reading the Bible, one of the things you often first learn is that numbers mean something. And this number, 12, is always important. Jesus has 12 disciples, largely because there are 12 tribes of the people of Israel. And there were 12 sons who made up those tribes, and they're all named, but there's these 12 different clans in the group of people, and they're each sort of living in their own way, but they're all part of this bigger nation. And over time, what's happened is they've become scattered. They've become scattered in all kinds of ways. And so when Jesus has them gather 12 baskets, he's asking those 12 disciples to say, what would it look like for you to gather back together what has been scattered? The Jewish people are living in nations where they had been exiled to and returned. They found their way back to Egypt at times. They found their way into Assyria and Babylon. They found their way into all kinds of places, and they're fragmented, and they've been angry with each other, and there are divisions. But this symbol is a reminder that the disciples have a job. He says, I will feed them, but you gather them. I will feed them, but you gather them. We get a job too. Ready to share means sharing Jesus Christ. It's sharing this incredible news that Jesus is there to feed you. But we continue, as these disciples do, in this symbolism, to say, okay, who needs to be gathered into this good news? Who needs to be gathered together? Who needs to be invited in? Because Jesus has a mission, not just to bless the people with food, but to gather them up as one, to remind them that they are united. They're not divided as little fragments to be forgotten and lost. They're united as one in the good news that Jesus has for him. And we live with open hands in order to bless others. But when Jesus opens his hands to us, he has such an incredible blessing. It changes our life. It renews our hope. It reminds us that we're not alone and we don't have to fear. And when we stop just at sharing what we have, we miss something critical. Because Jesus shares not just bread, but the bread of life. It's a gift that reminds us that we sometimes are like those fragments. And at times, we're the ones that people who love Jesus are gathering together, reminding us of who we are and who we belong to. And when we become disciples of Jesus, we are meant to do this work. Jesus says, once I've blessed them, you go out and love them. You go out and bring them together. You remind them that they belong with you, that there is a family and a people where we belong together. Gather them to me. That's our commission. Not just that we're ready to share what we have, but as we're ready to share what's inside us. What did Peter write in his letter? He said this, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. In other words, don't be afraid to tell them about me. Don't be afraid to tell them about my love. Don't be afraid to tell them that I am welcoming them back to me, that I am the one that has food that will satisfy and they'll never be hungry again. And we get this job. Bring the church back together as one. The hope that is in us is a gift for our neighbor. And sometimes the gift looks like a little bucket of corn when there's nothing in the fridge. And we get to bless people with it. And sometimes the gift is an opportunity to say kind words and bless one another when we're hurting. And sometimes the gift is to invite people to a place where they're invited to the table and they're given bread and wine and told that in Jesus, when you eat and drink this, you'll never be hungry or thirsty again because Jesus will satisfy us. Jesus will care for us. Jesus tells us that there is always enough for us. That's our good news. And when we're broken, when we're hurting, when we're feeling like one of those forgotten fragments, never miss this. There's always enough for you. There's always enough for all of us. There's always one who will gather us back up again. and invite us to be a part of this big, beautiful family that Jesus himself is building that makes no sense. Invites people together that should never belong together. Says, you're part of the crowd, you're with me. Come with me. Know that you matter because I have said who you are. And you're invited into a party that I promise will never run out of food. You're invited to sit at a table that will never run out of chairs. And you always belong. So join in, bring somebody along, and remind everyone that it's Jesus who loved us first and gave us the opportunity to share and bless one another. Let's pray. God, we give thanks that you open our hands, that you open our hearts, that you open our mouths to offer what we have. As Paul said, I pass on to you what I first received, the good news that Jesus is our Lord. And so we pray now that you would teach us to recognize that we have a place in the family, that you would teach us to recognize that when you've given us resources, it's an opportunity to bless our neighbor. You teach us to recognize that when you've given us hope, it's an opportunity to share hope with the hurting and the heartbroken and the struggling. And those who wonder if this world is really for them. But the truth is that you have created it all. And you have told us that our inheritance is a blessed life to stand in your presence and your love. Nothing else matters. Let us invite one another into that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen.